This is challenge number 24 of the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast. It's time for the podcast that you can play along with and test your knowledge about classic rock and roll and pop music from the last, five decades or so. At the same time, maybe learn a little something as we bring you some music trivia, some nuggets of information about great rock and roll and pop music. So thanks for downloading and thanks for listening. And thanks for playing along. This is our 24th challenge in the Great Openings series of podcasts. Once again, five songs spanning, 40 or 50 years or so. And we have a theme again. We're not going to tell you about what the theme is. We'll let you figure that out. That's part of the fun of it. Plus, if you figure out the theme, then maybe it'll help you figure out one of the songs if you're struggling with it a little bit. And, of course, stay tuned when we bring you the answers. Of course, as we always do, we'll bring you some great trivia, some nuggets of information about the songs that we're featuring this week. But first, the clues. Let's get to it. We've got, five hits. Hit number one is from 1969. We play just the opening notes of these classic hits, like this one from 1973. Can you identify the song or maybe the artist? How about this hit from 1981? Playing each clue two times so that you make sure you hear it very good. Hit number four is from 2000. And hit number five was popular in 2007. There you have it. The answers in our trivia are coming up in just a minute. I have an apology to make. I made a mistake. Doesn't happen very often. Our crack team of researchers are pretty darn good at digging up good trivia, and we try to check things out to make sure that we're giving you the most accurate information possible. But on challenge number 23, the last one that we did, we were in error. You'll remember that we featured the song Let's Get This Party Started by Pink. And I was talking about the music video as we read the trivia about it. And I mentioned that Linda Perry, who wrote the song, was also in the video. She played a bartender and erroneously said that she was the lead singer of the Go-Go's, which, of course, is not true. Linda Perry was from the group Four Non-Blondes, and several people picked up on that. We appreciate you pointing that out, and always appreciate any comments that you have or anything you want to add to the trivia as well. The email address is jimradio@gmail.com. All right, we brought you five hits, all of them with our theme, which we will let you know in just a minute if you haven't figured it out yet. Let's get started. Our first hit, hit number one, was from 1969.
In the year 2525.
Yeah, it was Zager and Evans, and a number one hit in the year 2525.
7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then.
Well, Zager and Evans were from Lincoln, Nebraska, and they were truly one-hit wonders. It is not very common for a recording artist to have a number one hit single and then never have another chart single for the rest of their career, but Zager and Evans achieved this dubious status twice. They were, and they remain the only act to do it in both the U.S. and the U.K. In the year 2525 was actually recorded a few years earlier, but it became popular in 1969. And if you take a look at that year, you might get some indication as to why it was popular then. Two futuristic sci-fi movies in 1969 received Oscars, Planet of the Apes and 2001, A Space Oddity. In July of that year, David Bowie's Space Oddity, The Tale of Major Tom, was released. And in July of 1969, the Apollo 11 astronauts made history when they set foot on the moon. And the song at the top of the charts when Neil Armstrong first walked on the moon, our feature song in the year 2525. All right, hit number two this week was from 1973. Yeah, it reached number 11 on the charts for Steely Dan. It's Reeling in the Years.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you
well, Reeling in the Years is noted for its excellent guitar work, which was the performance by Elliot Randall, who, ironically, was not even a member of Steely Dan. He was a session musician, and he reportedly stopped by on an invitation while they were recording the album, and he ended up playing the guitar solo. Legendary Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page has said that Randall's guitar solo on Reeling in the Years is his favorite solo of all time. In March of 2005, Q Magazine ranked the song on its list of the 100 greatest guitar tracks. And the solo was also ranked as the 40th best guitar solo of all time by the readers of Guitar World magazine. Hit number three this week, 1981. Yeah, it was the number two song for George Harrison. All those years ago. The song was a personal tribute to John Lennon after his murder. George Harrison originally wrote the song with different lyrics for Ringo Starr to record, and he did record it. But Ringo felt that the vocals were too high for his range, and he didn't like the words, so George Harrison took the track back. And after Lennon's death, he rewrote the lyrics and told about how he looked up to John Lennon. Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney, and Linda McCartney all played along on the song. Longtime Beatle producer George Martin produced it. And Jeff Emerick, one of the Beatles' sound engineers, also had a hand in the recording. Hit number four this week from 2000. Came from the Foo Fighters, and it's called Next Year.
Everyone's trapped in tight. We'll ride it out. I'll be coming home next year.
Well, Next Year was released as the last single off the third Foo Fighters album. It came out in 2000, the album There Is Nothing Left to Lose. The song was used as the theme song for the NBC TV series Ed, and it was used during the first season of the show, but it was replaced in the second season after a dispute over the rights to it. Now, the show's creators, Rob Burnett and John Beckerman, who were formerly with The Late Show with David Letterman, fought for the song, and Next Year returned as the theme song for the third and fourth seasons. The show Ed was also a production of Letterman's production company, Worldwide Pants Incorporated, and David Letterman served as an executive producer. He is reportedly a fan of the Foo Fighters, and in one episode of the show, a character is seen hanging a poster of the band in her office. All right, we rounded up with a hit from 2007. Came from The Jonas Brothers. It's called In the Year 3000. Well, the year 3000 was originally recorded by the British pop rock group called Busted, and it was released on their 2002 album, which was self-titled as Busted, and then it became a single the following year. But in 2006, it was recorded and sung by the Jonas Brothers, and they released it as a single. It hit the charts in early 2007 after heavy rotation on the Disney Channel. To make their version a little more commercial and radio-friendly toward teenagers and kids, some of the original lyrics were changed in the Jonas Brothers version. For example, a reference to Michael Jackson in the Busted original was changed to Kelly Clarkson in the Jonas Brothers version. And much of the sexual innuendo was also cut out. The lyrics of the song also make reference to Back to the Future movies, including lines about the flux capacitor. Well, there you have it. Those are our five hits for challenge number 24. Did you figure out what our theme was? Let's see. We went all the way back to 1969 for the year 2525. Then we were reeling in the years with Steely Dan and All Those Years Ago by George Harrison and Next Year by the Foo Fighters. And, of course, we wound it up with the year 3000 by the Jonas Brothers. The theme, quite obviously, is the word year. Well, that'll do it for episode number 24 of the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast. As always, we welcome your comments and feedback. You can reach us at jimradio@gmail.com. And the show notes are on my blog at jimdriscoll.net. Hey, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And thanks for playing along with the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast.